540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York is winding down.
Closing arguments start in the morning, and CBS News legal contributor Ricky Kleeman says it's a time for both the defense and prosecution to show their best stuff.
The one time that a lawyer is allowed to truly persuade a jury to be theatrical, if they are theatrical, but to be authentic.
The jury is expected to get the case Wednesday. Trump is charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. Peter King, CBS News.
More severe weather is now drenching the Northeast. These storms are from the same system that brought deadly tornadoes to the central U.S. this weekend, killing at least 23 people, seven of them from Valley View, Texas. CBS's Meg Oliver reports.
We're in it. I can't do anything.
As that same tornado hit, best friends Valina Gill and Brenda Dance thought they were driving away from the storm, but instead drove right into it.
I feel for everybody else that is injured and don't have homes or clothes.
And there were over 30 tornadoes reported total. The nasty weather causing travel delays for those heading home from the long holiday weekend, and it was a record-breaking one.
As we've been hearing, the era of post-pandemic revenge travel is over, but a lot of people still want to spend money on experiences. And looking ahead to the summer, we're expecting to see even busier skies. AAA expects airlines in the U.S. to carry 271 million passengers this summer, and that's up more than 6% from last year.
That's correspondent Roxana Saberi. All across the country, people gathered on Memorial Day to honor those who have lost their lives defending our country and freedom. President Biden laid a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia.
We gather at this sacred place, at this solemn moment, to remember, to honor the sacrifice of the hundreds of thousands of women and men who've given their lives for this nation.
A popular Southern California beach was closed for the Memorial Day holiday after a shark bumped a surfer off his board the night before. The surfer was in the water off San Clement Beach and says he saw a large dark object swimming towards him and then was knocked off the board. Luckily, he wasn't hurt. A sighting of a shark 10 feet or longer calls for a closure. Any kind of aggressive behavior prompts a 24-hour shutdown. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service is in Rock County to survey severe weather damage from Sunday. The damage is to large trees, which could have been done by tornadoes. The Weather Service investigation will focus on Janesville and Milton. Tornadoes may have also touched down in Whitewater and Fort Atkinson Sunday. A lot of people are on their way home from the busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since the pandemic. 3.5 million Americans flew somewhere.
Last year, the cancellation rate was at a 10-year low. This year, so far, it's actually even better than last year, but we want to make sure that it stays that way. We're pressing the airlines to do their part.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. This is Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers put together a late-inning rally to beat Chicago 5-1 in front of over 41,000 fans at American Family Field. The play of the day, bottom of the eighth, Willie Adames at the plate, Brian Anderson with the call, Wisconsin Valley Sports.
Wisniewski deals, Adames center field, Bellinger on the run, he looks up, goodbye! A three-run blast, Willie Adames! 4-0 Brewers.
Adames on taking a swing with three balls and no strikes.
Well, I don't really like to swing 3-0, but today it's just the right opportunity at the right moment and the right situation. I think today we got the results we wanted.
Meanwhile, the Cubs' offensive drought continues. Manager Craig Counsell.
We talked about Martin here in this low run scoring environment that you know, a couple weeks now.
From American Family Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers, even some rumbles of thunder in the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-50s. On Tuesday, we'll have another chance of showers and thunderstorms. Northwest winds. Our afternoon highs will top out in the upper 60s. More rain Tuesday night. It's 53 at our studios.
The Shaw, WAUK. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, welcome back to the third hour of our program. You know, there's not a lot of books that have consequentially altered the course of literally millions of people's lives and arguably even the course of a nation's trajectory. You think of Ralph Nader, Unsafe at Any Speed, or Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring. Frances Moore LePage's book, Diet for a Small Planet, is one of those books. It's one of those books that has had an enormous impact on the United States and frankly, all around the world on a whole bunch of different levels. And so I'm super pleased to have Frances Moore LePage with us for the next hour as our Conversations with Great Minds proceeds, for our Conversations with the Great Minds conversation. Frankie, welcome to the program. It's great to have you back on. It's been a while.
Very much. You are my hero. I hope you know that.
Back at you.
Yeah. Yes. So it's a thrill, a real thrill. And I just am so touched that you read that first section of the opening of the 50th anniversary. Oh, I'm so touched that you did that because it really does express why I'm here again 50 years later.
Well, thank you. That was on our non-commercial stations during the, when our commercial stations are in a break at the top and bottom of the hour, we insert book reports here, and that was our book report. It was a short reading from Diet for a Small Planet. Frankie, I'd like to, you know, since we have a little bit of elbow room here, we've got an hour to talk, I'd like to kind of break this into pieces and start out with just the my diet stuff, you know, the what impact does diet have on human health? What have we learned? What had you learned at that point in the late 60s, early 70s, as you were putting this book together and bringing it to print, that caused you to alter your eating habits with regard to, I mean, we'll get into the small planet part of it, but you know, just the human diet health part of it. What did you know then, and what have you learned since?
Well, then I knew very little about the health part of it. I had grown up in Fort Worth, Texas, also known as Cowtown. So mm-hmm. We ate hamburgers and roast beef, etc. So I did not know really much about the nutrition of it, meaning eating meat, not eating meat. What so alarmed me, what so shocked me, is the tremendous amount of waste of agricultural and our earth's resources to produce that meat. We get so little back from the grain-fed standard that we had moved to, that I was just shocked that the experts were telling us that we were at the Earth's limits when, in fact, we were actually shrinking the capacity of the Earth to feed us by feeding so much to livestock. Just to put a number on that, Tom, now about 80% of our agricultural land, including grazing, is devoted to livestock production that supply us with 18% of our calories. So that's some measure of how much is lost along the way. So actually, at the time, the only evidence we had then in 1970-71 was Seventh-day Adventists. Have you ever heard about that?
Oh, yeah, I knew some of them, and yeah, go ahead. Tell the story.
They were vegetarian, yeah. And they... The evidence was that, hey, they they don't eat meat. They don't, you know, they're vegetarian, and they're doing a lot better on longevity in particular. And that was the only little piece of evidence we had then. But I really, in the first edition, wasn't so occupied with the health piece as I was the waste piece. It was before, of course, we knew the climate impact of a meat-centered diet and overall health and species decimation, as you read in the opening. I quote David Attenborough about how the brain-fed meat-centered diet is implicated in this massive species extinction in which all life depends on all these critters. A lot of that is from pesticides, which have become so much more toxic and so are threatening many, many insect species. So that's my short, kind of short answer right to that.
Well, I recall in the 60s, I think I became a vegetarian in 67 or 68. And of course, you know, vegetarian meant you were still eating dairy and still eating eggs, but those are pretty much the only animal products. And you know, friends and parents and whatnot were saying, "Oh my God, you're going to die of a protein deficiency." And your book was actually one of the things that convinced me. I mean, it was half a decade later, but that I wasn't going to die of a protein deficiency. Because I was just, I mean, you know, it was a kind of a combination of the anti-war movement, which many of us in the anti-war movement were becoming vegetarians as a statement of nonviolence. And then also I had taken transcendental meditation training, you know, the Maharishi and all this, which is Hinduism, which is vegetarian. And so it just seemed like the thing to do. But you laid out in your book, you know, combining different amino acids to come up with complete proteins. We now know that probably that concern was exaggerated, but the whole essential amino acids thing. It was a remarkable revelation for me that, you know, that if you mixed beans and rice together, you got everything you needed, right? It was just as good as beef.
Yeah, I love that so many traditional diets throughout the world of indigenous peoples have combined grains and legumes, you know, the peas, beans, and lentils. And I thought that was just so cool that our bodies told us what to do. And you're right that back then, Tom, people would say to me, "Oh, you made peace in my family. That was your biggest impact because my parents thought I would die."
That's what my parents were thinking. Yeah, literally.
Yeah, yeah. So we've just grown now. And as I say in the new 50th anniversary edition, I've said, relax, relax. Yes, you know, there's maybe something to this complementary protein stuff, but we don't need to even think about it because if we eat healthfully, if we eat whole foods and for a range of foods, we get enough protein. Because Americans eat now, Tom, twice the proteins our bodies can use. And we do not store protein. We just use it as energy if we have more than we can use as protein. So it's really so much easier than we thought that we just can relax about it and just look for what's healthy and good. And just another thought I had riffing off on that was that, you know, people said to me, "Oh, you know, you're giving up so much and how is this sacrifice?" And I said, no, I just discovered that actually there are only a few kinds of meat. But if you turn to the plant world, you see all the variety of colors and taste and textures and traditions that you can choose from in terms of, you know, Latin or Indian or Indonesian cuisine to get inspired. So it was always a journey of discovery, not a journey of deprivation or cutting back.
Well, and in fact, most cultures around the world historically, and this is also true of indigenous and aboriginal cultures, used meat not as a primary ingredient, but more as a condiment isn't the right word, but you know, kind of a supplement to a principally vegetable diet. simply because of the availability of it, if for no other reason. I mean, there are some exceptions to that. People who lived in the Arctic, you know, who are living on seals and fish. But by and large, that's the case, is it not? Most societies yeah. around the world are not meat-based in their eating to begin with.
Right, exactly. That yes, in traditional societies, we evolved in these tight-knit tribal communities that we did eat meat when the hunter would go out and get some, and then we would share it. That's one of the things that I learned in anthropology, that it wasn't just the hunter's family, but everybody got to eat some of that. So it was a complement to the plant-based, and a lot of the plant-based was from women out there gathering.
Yeah, yeah, the hunter-gatherer societies, there you go.
Right.
We're talking with Frances Moore LePay, the activist and author of over 20 books, including Diet for a Small Planet, that just came out, a new and updated 50th anniversary edition. She is a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley, MIT in Suffolk, University in Boston, just to name a few. Smallplanet.org is the website. On Twitter, FMLAPPE.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back in just a moment with Frances Moore LePay and the new 50th anniversary edition of Diet for a Small Planet. A seminal work.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at steak.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. So for this week's special video, for the supporters of our program that we put up over at TomHartmann.com, I stepped into the Wayback Machine, and it's really remarkable when you go back over what President Obama accomplished and the Democrats in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, what they accomplished between 2008 and 2010 when they controlled Congress and the White House versus everything that the Republicans blocked. I mean, the Democrats in those 2 years, they saved Chrysler, they saved General Motors, they turned 800,000 monthly job losses into job gains, they increased spending and education spending, decreased the cost of student loans, all kinds of great stuff. But then when the Republicans took over, they blocked a veterans job bill, they blocked Wall Street reform, they blocked immigration reform, they blocked political ad disclosure. And this is just the little tip of the iceberg. You can see the whole video over at TomHartmann.com. We're talking with Frances Moore LePay. She is the author of Diet for a Small Planet, along with 19 other books, and more than 20 other books, I guess. And it's now out in this new 20th century edition, or 21st century edition, and just remarkable. Protein Factory in Reverse. Tell me about this, Frances.
Well, here's one fact from that Protein Factory in Reverse, is that when we eat grain-fed meat, beef, that is, we only get, of the calories that that cow has eaten, we get 3% of the calories back in the beef that we eat. So that's what I meant. It's a big shrinking machine that we have created, and it's one that is implicated in a lot of our poor health. I just learned that the World Health Organization has now deemed processed meat from hot dogs and salami, et cetera, processed meat as a carcinogen, and red meat as a possible carcinogen.
Wow. Wow. And so basically what we're doing by converting cropland, we take cropland, we grow crops, you know, soybeans and whatnot on that. We feed it to animals, and then we eat the animals, and we're receiving only 3% of essentially all the nutrients that were taken from the sun and the air and the water and the minerals and whatnot in the soil. We're only getting about 3% of that.
In the calories that we eat. It is the calorie to calorie from the feed, just the feed that is fed, the calories of the feed.
Is there a movement within the agricultural community now to try to move away from what do you call them? The crops that are grown to feed to animals, feed crops, fruits and vegetables, you know, human food crops.
Yes, and yes, there has been, and I think for a long time, just the difficulty. This is not going to surprise you, but our food system, the monopoly or oligopoly power of all aspects, you know, up the chain of our food system in terms of, you know, like meat packing or whatever the piece of the puzzle is very centrally controlled and takes seeds. When I began way back when, there were 50 seed companies competing to bring seeds of a variety of kinds to farmers, and now they're just about four. It's just a handful that are so dominant. So I think it's much harder to imagine because so many farmers are stuck dependent upon just from year to year, dependent upon the structure of where they get their inputs, you know, the fertilizers and the pesticides, and then how they sell it to the processors who turn it into a feed or whatever. So it is hard to break out of that highly concentrated system. But some people are doing it. I tell a story in the book about one of my favorite learnings has been the fact that trees and crops do not compete with each other. And around the world throughout history, people have discovered that mixing trees and crops in the same fields actually benefits it all in greater overall output. And so I highlight the Savannah Institute in Wisconsin that has taken the lead in this, and there are many others doing this as well that are breaking free from the dominant, wasteful, and so harmful practices. And just, you know, ecological organic farming, it is expanding much faster than other types of farming, but it still is a small percentage in the United States. But even, what did I say in that chapter, that there are a handful of southern states that within 5 years doubled their organic acreage. So that is a sign that is significant, that people are looking to free themselves from the harms of pesticides. On that note, too, Tom, another thing that we can be grateful for Biden is that they finally ended, banned now this, if I can say it right, the chloriferous, how do you say it?
Yeah.
It's, I was practicing the pronunciation, but it is an insecticide that does nerve damage, especially children who are exposed to it, and that has now been banned.
Right. It had, my recollection is, it had been banned by Obama, but the ban hadn't come into effect, and so Trump did away with it. Am I remembering
that? Exactly. That's it.
And so Obama put the, or sort of, excuse me, Biden put the ban back into place. It's great. We're talking with Frances Moore LePay. It's our Conversations with Great Minds. We'll be back with her new book, or her book, Diet for a Small Plant, out in a new edition just now.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
And our website is smallplanet.org. You can tweet her at FMLAPPE. We'll be right back. Dr. Marty Goldstein, first of all, I got to tell you, my wife is one of your biggest fans. Tell us about your background.
Well, I graduated Cornell Vet School in 1973, but I had my own conditions that were genetically based. I was not eating well. Conventional medicine had no answer. I started to eat well. I got better. And that was the wake-up call to then apply it to what a dog and a cat should be really eating. Most of the pet food industry is not biologically appropriate to what a dog and a cat would eat, period.
Generally speaking, what are the best things that you can feed your dog?
If they're healthy, well-to-do, and they don't have any medical conditions, about 80% meat and the rest some vegetation.
What should you avoid feeding your dog?
Meat byproducts are not really meat. I don't even want to mention what they contain.
What makes Dr. Marty's dog food different from all the other premium dog foods out there?
Preservatives.
Yeah.
My food is preservative-free. There's many of the foods out there have preservatives which destroy the intestinal flora, and they are immune-suppressive. My food meets all APCO requirements with only food. There's no additives, so we are literally simulating what a dog and or a cat would eat in nature with this. It's called food. What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept.
One thing that brings me joy is not only how much they love this, but how well they're doing just through the food. I mean, my life is complete. Well, that's all I can say.
That's great. Thank you, Marty.
It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Great talking with you. For a limited time, I can get you 54% off Nature's Blend and a free pack of premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
CBS News Brief. Closing arguments begin Tuesday in former President Donald Trump's criminal election interference case. Legal analyst Lori Levinson says prosecutors need to make sure the jury believes Michael Cohen.
The prosecutors have to put the pieces together for the jury. How the documents, the checks, the emails, the phone records corroborate what Cohen has to say.
After a weekend of deadly weather, there are more storms coming. Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
Because there's so much rain in our forecast in isolated pockets, 3 to 5 inches of rain and extending all the way through the plains, we could see some flooding that could extend all the way through the end of the week.
On Memorial Day in Indiana, the 98th South Bend West Side Memorial Day Parade was held.
Lest we forget our fallen, departed comrades and POW MIA still unaccounted for. We're going to remember our freedom because of that.
That's Commander Tommy Titty, CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Cuts are coming to another Wisconsin college. The Turbo University in La Crosse is trying to lower expenses. 27 jobs are going away. The Turbo's president says enrollment is shrinking and the university's deficit is growing. The Biden administration is expanding health coverage to children of immigrants in the DACA program. DACA participants in the U.S. are 3 times more likely than the general population to be uninsured. Aline Yuriko Badillo Carrillo is in the DACA program.
Not just for me, but I think it's a communal benefit. If I have access to medical care, then I'll be able to be healthier, and then I'll be able to help others.
Badillo Carrillo says immigrants and their families work many jobs vital to the economy. This is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Variety's posted the predictions for Emmy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor in the Comedy category. 8 of the top 10 nominees come from just 3 shows, FX's The Bear, Max's Hacks, and ABC's Abbott Elementary. Representing The Bear are Eben Moss Bachrach, Oliver Platt, Maddie Matheson, and Lionel Boyce. Paul Downs and Carl Clemens Hopkins are from Hacks, and Tyler James Williams and Chris Spaghetti from Abbott Elementary. Richard Lewis is predicted to receive a posthumous nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm. The title for the latest installment in the Knives Out franchise has been revealed. The Hollywood Reporter sprung the news that Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, will debut on Netflix sometime next year. Director Rian Johnson revealed the title on his ex Twitter page, as well as the fact that Daniel Craig will be back as the lead in the latest installment of the whodunit franchise. If they keep making Knives Out films, it's going to seem unbelievable that anyone would be seen at a dinner party with Daniel Craig. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers, even some rumbles of thunder in the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-50s. On Tuesday, we'll have another chance of showers and thunderstorms. Northwest winds. Our afternoon highs will top out in the upper 60s. More rain Tuesday night. Right now, it's 51.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
How do these things tie together?
Well, as we have moved to this very wasteful grain-fed, meat-centered diet, highly concentrated control, we have also seen a huge growth of disease in the sense that in the last 50 years, approximately five-fold increase in the U.S. in diabetes. And part of that is... part of that is moving to a highly processed diet. Now it's called ultra-processed. So it's both the meat-centered and the ultra-processed foods that have added salt, added sugar. And so that is a dramatic, dramatic change. And it's estimated now that about a third of Americans are either diabetic or pre-diabetic, meaning that they're on the pathway. So I think... then we also know that something like we understand that eating a grain-fed, meat-centered diet also contributes to heart disease and certain cancers, and so it's really not healthy.
Yeah,
put it
bluntly. And it's not healthy for the environment either.
Right, because what has been happening is really, as you opened up with this threat of the sixth great extinction, that this uniform growing of these crops over such wide areas and destroying rainforests to do it, I want to return to that in a sec, but it brings about a decimation of so many insect species in particular that... there is a great fear of that over the next few decades that we could really see this loss of insects that are essential to growing food. And in the rainforest, something like 80% of the rainforest destruction, say in the Amazon, has been to what? To make room for cattle grazing and for feed crops. And the Amazon is the richest center of biodiversity in the world. So that is a huge, huge loss. And if we, on the other hand, you know, that really contributes a lot to the environmental crisis. I want to move there right now that as we destroy forests, then that is part of our destruction of what is absorbing carbon. And it was estimated that if we move to a plant-centered diet, this peer-reviewed study found that we could be the equivalent in terms of benefit to the climate challenge, equivalent to taking basically all the cars and trucks and trains and ships off the road and off the seas. I mean, that is really significant. So it is when we're choosing a plant-centered diet, we know that we are reducing our human impact on creating climate change.
So how would America, you note in the book that over the last 50 years, our meat exports have more than doubled. And, you know, so we're obviously, you know, growing more and more beef in particular, but also pork and chicken and other meats. How would America be different if the whole country were to adopt not necessarily even a vegan or a vegetarian diet, but just, you know, cut their meat consumption back to what is pretty much the norm for the world, which is maybe one day a week eating essentially a meat-based meal or the equivalent thereof, or eating a small enough amount of meat that it just makes up that small amount of the diet that is typically, you know, it's what you typically find in other, not necessarily other so-called westernized or advanced or developed or wealthy societies, but what you find in societies that are living the way that they've been living sustainably for thousands of years. How would America be different if we were to shift away from a meat-based diet as a country?
Yeah, well, one of the first things, as I said, is that we now are one of the worst, and per capita, we are way up there as one of the very worst climate culprits, I like to think of it as. You know, so we are continue to emit greenhouse gases at a very high rate, especially per capita, compared to the rest of the world. So that would really go down big time as I was talking about how shifting to a plant-centered diet would overall be the equivalent of taking all of these vehicles off the road if we did that globally. So I think that we would definitely remove ourselves from being one of the very worst climate culprits, and we would also, to do that, would involve so much diversity of the use of our land, because we're using so much now. Our two major crops that take up, you know, a huge portion of our agricultural land are corn and soy in these huge monocrops, and those are what are destroying. I believe it's estimated that 40% of our insects could be extinct within the next few decades because of this kind of monoculture, single crops over these huge acres using pesticides. And so we would be protecting the diversity of insect and other forms of life that we need to grow food into the future. So that would be a really, really good thing. And we would certainly see these healthcare costs and troubles and pain and misery go down related to, for example, this very extreme level of diabetes that we have now, where, as I say, a third of Americans are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. So on, you know, think of all that money we save on healthcare alone, as well as sort of just the vitality that we'd have. And so it would be also require, to get there, would require democratization of our government so that corporate lobbyists, and now which there are 20 lobbyists in Washington for every person that, you know, we have elected to represent us there. And I want to point out agribusiness lobbyists are a bigger part of that than even the oil and gas industry. So another thing that would have to be part of this transition is we step up as citizens and say, hey, we don't want industry determining this dangerous agricultural system that's bad for our health and bad for the earth. We want, you know, we want our real voice of Americans of what is best for all of us. So I think that means really stepping up to get money out of the controlling place it has in our government.
Yeah, there's a kind of a cycle of the lobbyists to the politicians to the subsidies for the agricultural industry, and on with that. And in fact, you talk about democracy. You've written a couple of books about democracy in the United States, and this, but you know, I don't think most people make the connection between how we eat and how we govern ourselves, beyond the obvious, you know, yeah, there's lobbyists who want to funnel money to the people who are growing our food. Can you speak to that? What do you mean democracy is the problem?
Well, you named it too. I just checked my facts here that half of retiring senators end up as lobbyists and often revolve around, you know, between those roles. So there is this very clear problem we have of people who we think are representing us when they actually have ties to the problem and that are being rewarded for voting for policies that are not in the interest of their constituents. So that is just very simple. I just looked at how much Germany spends per capita, because that's the only fair way to do it on a national election compared to us. And it came out like 400 and something times greater here than there. If you look at the $14.4 billion spent on our last election, and that was double. It doubled in one election cycle. So I think that's a really clear call. And the food connection for me from the very beginning has been that what's more personal, hardly anything more personal than what we put into our mouths every day. And if we align those choices with what we know is best for us, best for the earth, best for others, we feel more powerful. We don't feel like a victim so much. And that changes our energy, I believe, Tom, that making those choices that align with the world we want, and that enables us to think, well, what else could I do, right? And to go deeper and to remind, it's like for me, I used to say, you know, wearing a string around my finger every day, I'm choosing these foods that aren't just responding to advertising, right? And it makes me remember all my connections to you, to all of us, to, you know, our government and what the policies they're making, and to the earth. So I just think it's a great way to start. And it's not a distraction, in my view. It's a key.
Yeah, remarkable. We're talking with Frances Moore LePay, the author of Diet for a Small Planet, just out now in new and updated 50th anniversary edition. One of the truly remarkable books of our time, one of the truly remarkable authors of our time. Smallplanet.org is the website. FM LePay is the Twitter handle. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be back with Frances Moore LePay in just a moment.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out.
And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. So there are actually some substantial differences between the Taliban, the Afghanistan Taliban, the group that has, you know, that Donald Trump assigned what his Secretary of State and, or excuse me, his Defense Secretary and his National Security Advisor referred to as surrender documents to back in early 2020. There's a difference between the Taliban and ISIS, or even K-ISIS, which is how they're identifying the ISIS group that has emerged in Afghanistan. The main difference is that the Taliban's ambitions are largely confined to Afghanistan. They want to be a regional force. They were the government of Afghanistan before. They want to be the government of Afghanistan again. ISIS, on the other hand, wants to reestablish the entire caliphate across the Middle East, across Northern Africa, across parts of Southern Europe. And this is going to bring these two into conflict. I've got a whole video about this over at TomHartmann.com for folks who support the program. Check it out. Welcome back. We're talking with Frances Moore LePay about her the new 50th anniversary edition of Diet for a Small Planet, which is just an absolutely remarkable book. Frankie, you were talking about democracymovement.us, and I'm looking at this page here, worried about democracy. The democracy movement is here. Together, let's make history. How does this tie into the themes of Diet for a Small Planet? You play a role in this website.
Yeah, well, I did say 50 years ago, more or less, that hunger is not caused by a scarcity of food, but a scarcity of democracy, because nobody chooses to go hungry. And so if you're not eating enough to be healthy, then you are deprived of power. If you have no voice, then you're not living in a democracy. And that is got to be understood, that nobody chooses this most primal deprivation. And we in America have to grasp that we think of ourselves as a democracy leader in the world, but we are not. I follow the rankings, you know, where we are. There's a project at Harvard that teams up with the University of Sydney that ranks us. The Electoral Integrity Project puts us behind about 55 countries, including South Africa, Poland, Peru. Then there's another center in Sweden that ranks us behind about 30 countries, and they note that there's been a bit of backsliding, and we're right in there, named as one of the countries with the most gone backward. So I don't want to depress people. Always want to motivate us, but I think we can't move forward if we have an illusion about who we are as Americans. And so it's really important that we share this bad news as well as the good news, that there are people working for democracy reforms, and we have on our website a lot of examples of where ordinary people have stepped up and done amazing things at the state and city level.
So where, how best do we get there? I mean, it seems to me like the core cancer in our democratic systems, and I realize we're kind of drifting away from diet here a bit, but I get the interconnection. But it seems that the core cancer is money, and that the Supreme Court has legalized billionaires and big corporations owning politicians. And we have a few politicians, even in the Democratic Party, who are, you know, outright owned and proud of it. But the entire Republican Party seems to have embraced this. What steps do you see to resolve that issue?
Well, I agree with those who believe or who assert that we must reverse, in effect, the impact of Citizens United that opened the floodgates. But believe me, we had money in politics before then. I think that was, 2010 was the Citizens United? So, but I just want to underscore that there are, particularly at state and city levels, for example, we tell the story of a young woman in Michigan, Katie Fahey, who just got truly upset about the degree of gerrymandering in her state. And just this one young woman started a campaign and then turned into traveling all across the state with all sorts of people. And it's a beautiful documentary about her. And in the end, they got law. They got a resolution. They got the system changed so that there could be fair districting in Michigan. And so we tell the stories on our website, democracymovement.us, of people like Katie and others who are working for, you know, voting rights. The three arenas are the voting rights protection and the end of gerrymandering and then money out of politics. And even but with for example, public financing, which was part of the, what I think of as a Sarbanes bill, what became HR1 and then S1, with a whole raft of reforms. One of them was to enable public financing elections, which we had. You know, Jimmy Carter won with public financing. Mm-hmm. So that's not forbidden by the Citizens United disastrous ruling.
Got wiped out, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm completely with you. Frankie, we're out of time, but thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you so much for writing this absolutely transformational book, Diet for a Small Plan. Frances Miller.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for all you do. Thank you.
Back at you. It has been a real honor. And thank you for being with us today. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. Get out there, get active, tag your in, and check out your diet. See you tomorrow.
Listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Fresh dog food is everywhere right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there are a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quickly. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Telly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-flavored dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rate.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, I'm Chenny, manager of a brand new store in town called Big Deals. It's not a brick and mortar store, but rather an online marketplace. What makes this place so great is it's filled with gift certificates to local businesses in town. Shop local, buy local, and save money. That's our motto, Big Deals. It's kind of a big deal.
The WAUK Big Deals store is now open. Click the Big Deals tab at WAUKradio.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.